Amen. God's good, right?
Praise God.
All right, let's open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. Let's read this and then we'll pray. Why don't you read it with me? Wait for you that are looking that up to get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. Okay, read it with me, folks. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Amen. Amen. Go back to verse 4 a minute. This bottom word here, strongholds, we develop strongholds in our life. They happen. They are not nice because they consume us in those areas. Well, this morning, you may remember, we're going to talk about pride. And pride is the capital stronghold you have in your life. It is the big daddy.
Yes.
And we want to talk about it, and then if you would with me, I'm going to repent. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, let's pray. Father, we give you the glory and praise for your word.
Hallelujah.
Lord, when we got saved, we brought a lot of stuff with us. And you slowly have taken that off of us. Hallelujah.
For your deliverance, Lord.
And Lord, little things we don't think about. Pride is not a little thing, but so often we don't think about it. So it just lives in us. And Lord, those of us that are here or hear my voice, it's been my prayer this week that you want to get rid of pride along with me. So Lord, open our ears wide. Don't let things pop up to change our focus or change our listening. But Lord God, let us hear your word today. Break down this stronghold in Jesus' name. And get rid of this hideous habit that probably all of us have to some degree. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Let me get a sip of water for a minute, please. Good to see Richard today.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
All right, today we're going to continue our series of discussion concerning bad habits with a message called I Quit. I quit the bad habits. I quit pride. I quit pride. Please remember that you folks chose this particular topic last week. And I'm sorry, but I don't want you to shoot the messenger. All right. There is an old story about a Navy warship that was heading through the fog one night when a distant light appeared directly in their heading. As they continued, it got brighter and people started talking about it. So the captain walked to the helm to assess the situation. About that time, a voice comes over the radio and says, "Calling the vessel traveling 18 knots on a 220 heading. You need to adjust your course 30 degrees. captain got on the radio and he responded, "This is the vessel on the 220 heading. You adjust your course 30 degrees. "Negative, Captain, you adjust now," came the reply. "I am an admiral in the U.S. Navy," said the commander. "Who am I speaking to?" "I'm an ensign, a private in the U.S. Coast Guard," the captain announced. "Then I suggest you adjust your course now." "No, sir. I suggest you adjust yours immediately." And then the captain says, "Son, we are a U.S. Navy warship." Voice come back, "Well, sir, we are a lighthouse, and I'm sure you should change your course now." There are many folks who are just simply impressed with themselves. After all, they are the captain of their own ship, right? But the truth is, friends, some things in life are just bigger and more important than we are.
Yes.
Obviously, God is much bigger than we are, and in some ways, you could say that God is the lighthouse, an immovable lighthouse. So the question we want to ask ourselves today is, who should I be focused on? Almighty God or myself? In other words, are you determined to be God-centered or self-centered? The tough question we have to answer today is, are you in charge of your own world, your own destiny? Do you honestly believe that you are that capable? That you are so important, so clever, so efficient, so perfect, that you should be in charge of your own world? Do you think you are more capable than God? All of you would quickly respond with a resounding no. No, I don't think I'm God. But sadly, some of you may spend the bulk of your time acting as if you were. Do you act as though you are the center of the universe and that everything and everyone exists to simply serve you and serve your purpose? The truth, none of us are more deserving than anyone else. Amen? None of us are more deserving than anyone else. And yet we know that we can get caught up in these personal desires and make every effort to build our own little kingdom, whether that's our household, our relationships, a company, positions of power, and even prestige. Now, in its worst form, pride is referred to as narcissism, which is marked by some extreme selfishness or overestimation of one's talent or importance. These people probably need more professional help than this message is going to give, because narcissism is usually considered a severe personality disorder. But that's not what we're talking about today. Rather, it's the personality trait that most of us struggle with at times, and that's called self-centeredness. People who achieve an extraordinary level of fame or reputation while still alive are often referred to as a legend in their own time. And yet I'm sure you know people who are a legend in their own mind. Amen?
Yeah.
Guys, it's easy to spot pride. Okay, let me say that again. It's easy to spot pride in other people. In other people. It's been said that pride is the disease that makes everyone sick, except the one who has it. I'm sure we all know folks who are too proud to ask for advice, even when they desperately need it. How about men and directions? We often see those who cling to their old habits, even when they are ineffective, all because they're just too proud to change. And what about those who are always one-upping others? They love to go on and on about their accomplishments, making sure to inform everyone about how important they are. Saints, pride has a way of distorting how we view ourselves, while humility, on the other hand, offers a realistic perspective. Humility offers a realistic perspective. The writer of Proverbs said in Proverbs 16 and verse 18, he said, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty or overbearing spirit before a fall." So, brothers and sisters, as we start a new year and consider New Year's resolutions, what are those things that you need to let go of, to stop doing, to determine, "I quit, I quit"? Well, so far we know it is vital that we quit worrying, right?
Amen.
That was 2 or 3 weeks ago. But a more serious issue today is that of pride. That is pride. Now, when you think of the word pride, does it strike you as positive or negative? Certainly, there are many positive types of pride. For instance, it's good to take pride in our work. Amen? Our children need to hear us say, "I'm proud of you."
Yes.
Amen? And nearly everyone wants to live in a neighborhood where people display pride of ownership. Hallelujah. So all of these expressions communicate a positive sense of pride, where there is dignity, respect, and honor, traits that we all want to embrace. And yet I think we also understand that pride isn't always a positive characteristic. It can also be defined as conceit, arrogance, or superiority. This pride is based in self-centeredness, and it is destructive, and it is especially destructive to relationships.
Yes.
The great writer C.S. Lewis made this comment about pride. "The point is that each person's pride is in competition with everyone else's pride. It is because I wanted to be the big noise at the party that I am so annoyed at someone else being the big noise." What you want to understand is that pride is essentially competitive. It's competitive by its very nature, while the other vices are competitive only, so to speak, by accident. Pride gets no pleasure out of having something. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
It finds pleasure in having more than the next guy.
Yeah.
Now, friends, this may or may not come as a surprise to you, but pride is at the top of the chart for bad habits.
Yeah.
Seriously, if we could rid ourselves of pride, most of the other negative issues in our life would simply vanish.
Oh, hallelujah.
Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. There are 6 things that the Lord hates. No, 7 things he detests: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, a person who sows discord in a family. And the haughty eyes is pride. So why does God have so much to say about this issue? Because ultimately, a prideful person is saying, "I don't need God." He has seen pride destroy lives all throughout history. For instance, even before God created mankind, Satan, who was originally an archangel, was thrown out of heaven because of his desire to be equal or above God. Then all throughout history, we see Israel repeating repeatedly reject all the prophets that God sent them to warn about their acts. And then even in the New Testament, the Pharisees, filled with self-righteousness, deny the work of Christ, even as he stands before them. Mm-hmm. Listen, pride is devastating because of its deceptiveness. Pride is devastating because of its deceptiveness. Listen to C.S. Lewis again. A proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you're looking down, you can't see something that's above you.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
You and I can all be guilty of pointing out pride in someone else, while oblivious to the stranglehold that it might have in our own lives. One time, my loving wife told me, "Don't have so much pride in your humility."
Yeah.
Don't be so proud of being humble.
Wow.
Mm. Ouch.
Listen, folks, pride will cost you. It will cost you friendships, intimacy, respect, lost opportunities, rest, peace of mind, wisdom, and even money. It's hard to imagine that the stakes could be much higher. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, "Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us."
Mm. Hallelujah.
Now, please hear me. Pride becomes sinful when it begins to take your focus off of Jesus and put it on yourself. It's sinful when it causes a feeling of superiority over other people, or when it begins to inflate who you are and what you've done. Pride is sinful when you refuse to admit wrongdoing or refuse to admit to imperfections in your life. Pastor and author John Ortberg tells the story about a CEO of a Fortune 500 company who pulled into a service station to get gas. Then he went inside to pay, and when he came out, he noticed his wife was engaged in a deep conversation with the service station attendant. It turned out that she used to date this man back in high school. The CEO got in the car, and as the two of them drove down the road, the CEO was feeling pretty good about himself. So he finally says to his wife, "I bet I know what you were thinking. You're glad you married me, the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, instead of a service station attendant." His wife answered, "No, I was actually thinking that if I'd married him, he'd be the CEO of the Fortune 500 and you'd be the service station." We all know of people who are arrogant or boastful, or who think more highly of themselves than they should. Pride is like an itch that constantly needs scratching. So then how can we recognize the presence of pride in our life? Most often, pride is revealed in our attitudes and our interactions with others. A prideful person can't handle criticism and absolutely hates giving an apology. In fact, I'm going to give you 5 signs that pride might be a problem for you. Remember, it's hidden most of the time from the person that has it. Okay? 5 signs pride might be a problem for you. Number 1, you often compare yourself to others. You often compare yourself to others. Man, I am glad I'm not as bad off as he is. Anybody hear that before? Anybody say that before? Luke chapter 18, starting with verse 9 through 14. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I'm not like other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income. Verse 13, but the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, O God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, the sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Pride compels you to focus on those you feel superior to. I may not be in the best shape, but I'm better shape than he is. I may not be a PhD, but I'm certainly smarter than she is. You compare yourself to people who, according to your thinking, will assure you that you are brighter, richer, faster, more attractive, or more accomplished. I heard one counselor call it comparigance. It's arrogance born out of comparison. Comparigance. Number two, your self-worth is determined by your latest performance. Your self-worth is determined by your latest performance. This one is a challenge for those of us driven by results, a category in which I should be included. I love progress. I'm addicted to progress. So one sure sign of pride is your opinion of yourself rises and falls with how you perform or what others say about your performance or accomplishments. Your identity should be found in Jesus. But when pride gets in your way, your identity is found in what you do. Well, I'll say this again. Your identity should be found in Jesus. But when pride gets in the way, your identity is found in what you do. As Tim Keller put it, when work is your identity, success goes to your head and failure goes to your heart. A third sign of pride is you can't celebrate someone else's success. You can't celebrate someone else's success. Prideful people have a hard time celebrating the accomplishments of someone else because someone else's success threatens the attention you believe you deserve. Number four, you squeeze gifted people out of your life. You squeeze gifted people out of your life. Pride does not make room for the gifting of others. So you drift toward people who are not quite as talented as you are. And if there's someone in your circle more talented than you, you are never happy for them. But instead find yourself envious and critical of them behind their backs. Proud people always feel a need to be the most talented and skilled. I need some water. You want to stand up, take a stretch?
No, I like sitting.
You like sitting? Okay, I'm going to give you number five. You want some say in everything. Number five, you want some say in everything. Proud people are controlling people. You always want to add your little bit of knowledge, your little bit of insight, or even share a better story than what other people just shared. You don't like it if the other person gets the spotlight and you get overlooked. You are also known as a bit of a know-it-all. Since I hate to be repetitive, but I'll say this again. Not only will pride hurt your relationship with God, but it has the potential to hurt all of your relationships.
Yes.
Amen?
That's it.
Now I'm going to give you a big one.
Amen.
Pride is the number one reason for divorce.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pride is the number one reason for divorce. A wall of pride grows so thick that you can no longer get a couple to work on their hurts. I've often said that God can heal any marriage as long as both are willing to work at it. But many times, pride will prevent that from happening. Amen? We also see families crumble, friendships destroyed, jobs lost, all because someone won't admit they're wrong, or won't apologize, or won't compromise on petty issues, or won't admit their need for help, all because of pride. Isn't that terrible? All because of pride. And unfortunately, churches are full of people who are at odds with one another because their pride will not allow them to make the confessions necessary for reconciliation. I hope you can see why pride is the granddaddy of all sins. But you and I cannot continue in this attitude of pride and this egotistical behavior. So we must ask ourselves, how do we tame this raging beast of pride in our life? Well, humility is the key. Nothing kills pride like humility. Only humility can get you out of what pride got you into. Amen. In fact, as much as God hates pride, He loves humility. So how do we achieve this humble spirit? How do we move from pride to humility? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 6, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time He will lift you up in honor. Notice the scripture says that we are to clothe ourselves with humility. We must wrap ourselves with humility. So this is something we have to do, like putting on a coat. Humility is the garment that you and I must wear. But it must become a conscious effort, that which we do every day, in order to cultivate humility in our lives. As you and I observe the mannerisms of the humble, we can learn to respond in an appropriate way to the positive and the negative things in our life. Now, as we saw in 1 Peter 5, God opposes pride, but He shows favor to the humble. Obviously, when we determine to humble ourselves, God will, in the proper time, lift us up. Amen. But brothers and sisters, let's be sure we have a clear understanding of humility, because humility is often misunderstood. Regardless of what some people believe, humility and weakness are not synonymous. Humility does not equal weakness. In fact, the opposite is true, because humility is strength of character. Strength of character. Paul confirms this in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all this through him who gives me strength.
Amen.
Through
thank
him
God.
Who gives me strength.
Thank you, God.
Paul was humble, but he was anything but weak.
Amen.
He was bold. He was confident. He was courageous. But at the same time, he always understood the source of his strength. God.
Yes.
God was the source.
Yes.
Also, humility is not the same as low self-esteem.
No.
Being humble doesn't mean you think you are a loser or insignificant. Again, it simply means you know where your strength comes from.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
You know.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I also think it's an important distinction to understand that we are talking about humility and not humiliation. Some people think they have this gift of keeping people humble, when in fact all they're doing is humiliating that person.
Yeah.
Friends, that's not a God thing.
Amen.
Not a God thing. I've seen it done in public where a parent is embarrassing or humiliating one of their kids, or a man or a woman is critical or humiliates their spouse. Interesting enough, it's caused by pride. You see, while humility enhances our humanity and makes us more like Christ, humiliation diminishes our humanity and often causes us to forget that we are made in the image of God.
Yes.
Amen? Yes. So whenever someone tries to degrade you or put you down, just remember who you are in Christ. Who you are. And I'll add after that worship song, who loves you?
Yes.
Thank you.
Who loves you? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 says, see what a great love the Father has lavished on us.
Yes.
Woo! That's something like a bubble bath or something. Lavished. That we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him.
Yes.
Did not know him. Remember, folks, you and I were made by God, and he doesn't make junk.
Yes.
He doesn't make junk.
Thank you, Lord.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago.
Hallelujah.
Pastor Jerry, you say that God doesn't make junk, but what if we have a deformity or a handicap? Listen, guys, and this is very important. Deformities or handicaps come in all forms and fashions. But this body we live in is not who we are.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's more important. It's no more than a temporary home.
That's right.
And last month we saw that. 4 funeral memorial services in 1 month. It's who we are. God's.
Yes.
We're God's. One day my soul and spirit are going to live in perfection with Christ.
Yes,
amen.
For all eternity.
Yes.
You're no longer saddled with all these earthly limitations. John 15:5 says, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. for apart from me, you can do nothing.
So
again, humility is understanding I am nothing without Christ, and my strength and my identity are found in Him. Amen? So being humble doesn't mean you think less of yourself. Just means you think of yourself less. I like that. A little girl was eating a lot of cotton candy when her father asked, "How can a little girl eat so much cotton candy?" Her answer, "Well, I'm much bigger on the inside than I am on the outside." Pride leads us to pretend to be bigger on the outside than we are on the inside. While healthy humility helps us to be a bigger person on the inside, which will then impact our actions on the outside. Amen. Another thing that fosters humility is gratitude.
Amen.
When you recognize all that God has done in your life, it takes you off the throne of your life and puts God in His rightful place.
Amen.
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 So how do we make sure we don't lose our gratitude? First of all, you express your thankfulness on a regular basis. Regular basis. When you pray, offer prayers of gratitude. Second, fall more in love with the giver than you do with his gifts. Fall more in love with the giver than you do with his gifts.
Amen.
And then third, never claim full credit for your story. But acknowledge the role of grace and providence in your life. So what are you grateful for? Here's a better question. What should you be grateful for? I'm getting close to the end, folks. I saw some heads bobbing. All right, another thing I want to say about humility is that it goes hand in hand with love.
Yes.
Love. Listen, it's no great mystery that the Bible places great emphasis on love. The word love appears hundreds of times throughout Scripture. Brothers and sisters, you cannot show God's love without humility. When we have humbled ourselves before God, we are ready and able to show His love to others by humbling ourselves before them, by esteeming them better than ourselves. Philippians 2, verse 2 and 3, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. What that means is every one of you are better than me. Talk about kicking pride in the head. Every one of you are better than me. In every way. Without first humbling ourselves before the Lord, we are merely showing our own love, which is flawed and full of sin. And let me say this. Humility comes from wisdom, communicated directly from you living, following the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
Now, I want to read a passage in James chapter 3, verse 13 through 18. And I'm going to read it slow because it's too good to rush. Starting with verse 13. If you are wise and understand God's way, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous, and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. Verse 15, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Verse 16, for wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. Verse 18. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah.
Glory.
I think we all want the mind of Christ.
Yes.
If we are wise and understand God's ways, then prove it by living an honorable life. Doing good works with humility that comes from wisdom. Let me reiterate once again that the most destructive outcome of our pride is that it makes us think we can do significant things without God. What a travesty and what an insult to our Lord. Pride makes us believe, I don't need God. I don't need God. I'm managing quite well by myself. Listen, folks, pride is the primary barrier to salvation.
Yes.
It's hard to bring a proud person to the Lord. You see, God has already provided for the forgiveness of our sins through the death of His Son on the cross. He has done it. And so the only way you can be saved is by putting our faith and our trust in Him. It goes exactly opposite of what a prideful person believes. Salvation is not something that we can earn. It's a free gift from God. And yet pride makes it difficult for many of us to accept this free gift. Our pride drives us to think we can somehow earn it by doing enough good deeds that the Heavenly Father will then owe us eternal life.
Doesn't work that way.
How vain and how utterly ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's right.
God requires us to humble ourselves, reject the pride, and repent of our sins, and depend only on His love and His grace.
Yes,
amen. Saints, swallow your pride today. Denounce it today. Quit it today.
Yeah.
Determine to humble yourselves in the sight of God and in the presence of others. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Yes, hallelujah.
Amen. Let's stand together. Wow. I don't want to ever talk about pride again.
You won't need to. You won't need to. You're all...
We got it.
Crystal clear.
I do too. So let's pray and be part of this prayer, okay?
Hallelujah.
Lord Jesus,
yes.
We want to thank you.
Hallelujah.
For things that have been revealed today.
Yes, oh God.
we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that you put in us all the fruit of the Spirit, all the right ways to act, the right things to do. Lord Jesus, we come to you right now and repent of pride in our lives.
Yes, God.
We are sorry, and we're going to go the other way. Repentance means to turn, go a different direction.
Hallelujah.
And Lord, we repent of the things we've done that have showed dependence on self and not on you. Thank you that you woke us up today. Thank you that you're working in our hearts and minds.
Hallelujah.
Thank you that you're not leaving us alone.
A new person, Lord. Yes, hallelujah. Convict.
The scripture says, old things are gone.
Yes.
We want pride to be one of them old things, Lord God. That's gone. And a life without pride is new. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, hear our prayer of repentance.
Thank you, God.
Stop us when that behavior shows. Lord, we hate it when we act like you're not important to us. We hate it when we are self-efficient. When we can't do a thing without you.
Yes, God.
Jesus, thank you for revealing this awful, awful thing in our lives. And Lord, if there's right now in our life, if there's something that our pride has caused, we repent, we rebuke it, and we ask that we are able to apologize for what we've done that's been caused by pride. Lord, we want the mind of Christ. And with that mind, Lord, I ask you to take the willingness to boast. Take it away and put our dependence on you in its place.
Yes, thank you, God.
Lord, this church is filled with wonderful, beautiful people. You made each and every one of us. We are all precious people in your sight. You love us unconditionally. Unconditionally, every one of us, no one is left behind in your love. Lord, that must be the reason to defeat pride. Help us, Jesus, to break this habit. The sooner the better. And I thank you this morning for this message.
Yes.
Heal us, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I love y'all. God bless you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. 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 Thank
Amen.